James chapter 5, if you'll look there with me in the New Testament, the book of James chapter 5. Praise the Lord. We've been giving messages over the last several weeks, all related to the harvest. And when we talk about harvest, of course, we're talking about a harvest of souls. The opportunity that the Lord gives to us to be a part of the harvest. And we know that it's His harvest. We know He's the Lord of the harvest. But He's also invited you and me to participate in this last day harvest. So we're going to talk about the harvest and the work of the Holy Spirit and the partnership and what is required to be successful in this last day harvest. James chapter 5, two verses here, verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. Amen. The harvest is close and closer than you could ever imagine. The coming of the Lord is very, very near. And so the opportunity and the time is, we're constrained by the fact that there's not much time left. And so the harvest must be gleaned. It must be taken. Otherwise, there will be vast numbers of people who will not hear the gospel and will be lost at the coming of the Lord. Now, there are many passages in the scripture, all throughout the scripture, that deal with the early rain and the latter rain, as we just read to you here from James chapter 5. That precious fruit that we are to be husbandmen or gardeners who are faithful until the coming of the Lord. We're patient. And we're trusting that God is going to bring the fruit in His own time. But we know that the coming of the Lord is very, very soon. And until we receive the early and the latter rain. Now, the early and the latter rain is discussed, as I said, in a lot of places in the scripture. But I believe that one of the most well-known passages is in the book of Joel, chapter 2. And this is the passage by the prophet Joel that was quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost, whenever the crowds were gathered to see what was happening in the upper room. The Bible said it was noised all around Jerusalem, and so they came to see and to hear what was going on in this amazing outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And so they no doubt were confused. They didn't know what was going on. As a matter of fact, they said, it seems like they're drunk. And why? How could they be drunk? This is such an early time of the day, the ninth hour of the day. It doesn't make sense. Peter stands up then and gives the explanation, clarifies. Here's what's going on, that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is an outpouring of the Spirit. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit. Most places in the scripture, when you see the terminology, Old Testament terminology of an outpouring or pouring out, it has to do with rain. It has to do with a downpour of rain. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon your servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. So when Peter made the explanation, he says, this is not what you think it is. This is really a fulfillment of the words of the prophet Joel. This is an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I believe that this was the early rain. This was the early rain that was poured out upon the church. And a great and wonderful move of the Spirit of God there on the day of Pentecost. The reason that I believe so, there's a lot of reasons, but I believe primarily because there was this amazing number of people that came to the Lord as a result of Peter's message that day on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says they were pricked in their hearts, they were convicted, and began to ask questions. What do we do? What must we do? And Peter gave them the instruction, you need to repent, you need to be converted, you need to turn to the Lord. And that's exactly what they did. And 3,000 souls came to the Lord. There will always be, with the outpouring of Pentecost, it is always associated with the harvest. The rain is always sent because of the need for the harvest. Always. And so any revival, any Pentecostal outpouring that does not promote lost souls being saved, and where there is not, you do not see the effect of the harvest being felt, then that's not really a legitimate New Testament revival. Because when he pours out his Spirit, the purpose is to prepare the soil or the hearts and the minds of people to receive the seed of the gospel and to be saved. Amen. So there's much in God's word that gives this parallel of the outpouring, the early and the latter rain, the early outpouring and the latter outpouring of the Spirit. You have to go back all the way to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11 to read about this early and latter rain. In Deuteronomy 11 in verse 10, it says, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence you came out, where they sowed thy seed and watered it with thy foot as a garden of herbs." Now, Egypt was different than Canaan, the promised land. Egypt was a very dry climate. Very little rain fell in that area. And so for them to be able to have crops and fruit that would grow to sustain the nation of Egypt, they had to have a very sophisticated system to bring water to all of their crops. And they would dig trenches that would empty into pools, and then from those pools they would dig more trenches. One of their practices was to dig the trench and then use their feet to shore up the sides of that trench so that it wouldn't cave in, so that it would hold the water. And that's what is being described here in Deuteronomy, where it says that this land of Egypt is not like the land of Canaan, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. It was describing how they built this irrigation system to provide water to grow. But that's not the way it is in the land of Canaan, he said. Canaan is always, the promised land is a type of the Spirit-filled life. It's the type of the victorious Christian life, entering in and taking the possession that God has provided for his people. So let's read here what the promise was. It says, "But the land whether you go to possess it is the land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year." Isn't this a wonderful promise? From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, the eyes of the Lord are upon his people, and he sustains them through just a continuous raining upon the people. It says in verse 13, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full." You see, whenever they were promised this wonderful land of Canaan as theirs to possess, there was a condition involved. You have to love God. You have to serve God. You have to obey the commandments of the Lord.
So when you live your life to please me, God said, live according to my plan and my will for your life, then I'm going to be watching over you. I'm going to be raining upon you and providing what you're in need of to sustain you. But if you turn away from me, and when you read the history of Israel, you'll see it over and over again, that whenever they turned away from God, there would also be the parallel. Their spiritual life would be a parallel with what was going on in the land. The land would dry up. There would be famine in the land. There would be a drought in the land. Remember when Ahab and Jezebel were in control and they were wicked and evil, that there was also a famine in the land and there was a drought and a dryness that was there, and there was a terrible spiritual condition as well that was paralleled by the fact that they were in terrible condition as far as the physical condition of the land. And so God has promised to his people, Israel, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to provide for you if you serve me with your whole heart, with your whole heart. If you live for me, then I'm going to rain on you and I'm going to provide just what you are in need of. That was the condition. And the condition for us today is if we'll serve the Lord, if we'll live according to his plan for our life, that God has promised he'll take care of us. He'll move in your life. He'll move upon your family. He'll move upon our church. If we'll honor the Lord, if we'll serve the Lord with our whole heart, we will reap the benefit of the glorious outpouring of God's Spirit upon our lives. Amen. Glory to God. Brother D.C. Branham used to say, no holy life, no Holy Ghost. And I believe with all of my heart that if you turn your back on God and you walk away from the Lord and you live according to the dictates of your own whims and your own desires, you're going to lose the anointing. You're going to lose the blessing of the Lord. You're going to lose the touch of God, and the rain of God's Spirit upon your life is going to dry up. But if you'll honor the Lord and stay close to the Lord and walk in obedience to the command of the Lord, then you have the promise that he's going to be with you and he's going to sustain you and he's going to pour his Spirit out upon you and bless you and meet your needs. We as a church, we need the outpouring of the Spirit of God. We need the early rain, and now we need the latter rain as well to be poured out upon us. I believe the early rain was the outpouring of Pentecost. And down through the years, for 2,000 years, there have been the various rains of the Spirit, spatterings of rain, different times and seasons of rain down through the centuries. But then in the early 1900s, there was an outpouring of the Spirit. It wasn't only in California, but it was in Topeka, Kansas. It was in Texas. It went across this nation. Even London, Kentucky was affected by that. Many places across this nation and around the world were affected by an outpouring of the Spirit in the early 1900s. God began to rain in a mighty way upon the people of God all over this nation with a wonderful Pentecostal rain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing that it is that God has promised. For those of you that read or study much about what is going on and has been going on for the last 20 or 30 years in missions, you'll know that by far it is the Pentecostal missionary efforts all around the world that has grown unbelievably. The growth is unparalleled in any other movement. Wherever there is a Pentecostal outpouring of the Spirit of God, then there's growth and the seed is being sown and it's multiplying, and many people are affected by the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It's very important for us to note that these outpourings of the Spirit, the early and the latter rain, all both had to do with the harvest. In Palestine, the early rains would come in November, December. About this time of the year is when they're getting their early rain in the season. The early rain comes at a time so they can break up the ground and get the seed in the ground, and the ground would be moist and could begin the growth process. And then about April of next year, that seed will be full blown and the harvest will be ready to be taken. And in that season, The latter rains begin to fall. Just before the fruit begins to bear fruit, then the latter rains fall on Palestine and all of that region. The latter rains fall upon those fields and bring them completely to the place that they're ripe and ready to be harvested. I believe that we are living today in the age of the latter rain. We are living in the age of the latter rain, that God wants to pour His Spirit out today in an unmeasurable way, in a mighty way, in a wonderful way upon His people. If we'll seek the Lord, if we'll cry out to God, God will bless and the harvest will come, and there will be this wonderful rain of the Spirit of God that will bring the fruit to its ripe condition so that we can bring the fruit in before the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Spirit's work is always focused upon the harvest. The Holy Ghost's rains that fall always fall to produce an ingathering of souls, to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we need an outpouring of the Spirit of God? We desperately need His Spirit to be raining upon us as a people, because there's a vast number of people bound in darkness, lost and without hope, and the only way for them to come and to be the chains of sin to be broken is for them to have an encounter with an outpouring of the Spirit of God. God poured out His Spirit at Pentecost. He is pouring out His Spirit in these last days to bring us to a time where we can bear much fruit. Praise God. That is the will of God. That's the will of God for these last days, that we see a harvest of souls. Amen. Yeah, actually, everything that God does for us by His Holy Spirit, we all know many of the gifts and the attributes that come from the Holy Spirit, the blessings of receiving the Spirit. All of them really are tied in with the harvest. All of them are tied in. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts, brings Holy Spirit conviction. That is tied in with the harvest, because hearts of men have to be convicted and made aware of the fact that they need God. They need to be convicted or convinced of their need. And it's the Holy Ghost that convinces sinners that they need to be saved. The Holy Ghost also is a comforter. This is a time when it's easy to get discouraged and wonder, is my work really making a difference? Am I really doing anything? But the Comforter comes to comfort, to assure us, to let us know He's with us, and that He will provide what we need to bring in the harvest. He teaches and instructs us. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a sanctifier. The Holy Spirit leads us, and the Holy Spirit illuminates us and shows us things that we need to know. All of these things are tied in very closely with the last day harvest. Praise God. We desperately need the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. Isaiah 32 and 15, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of God is poured out from on high, that God can take a barren desert. If you this morning are dry and you recognize I'm no good to God in the spiritual condition that I'm in right now, you need to begin to seek after God with your whole heart and ask the Lord, Lord, renew me in your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Anoint me afresh with your power and your Spirit. I don't want to be all dried up and empty and unfruitful, but I want to be doing something, accomplishing something in these last days. Zechariah 12, and there are many others, but I'm just going to call your attention to Zechariah 12 and 10. Another place where this is being described. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Isn't that interesting? Something that is associated with this last day outpouring. Two things mentioned here: a spirit of grace and a spirit of supplication. A spirit of grace and a spirit of supplication will be a part of this last day reign of the Holy Spirit. Well, the two things really from this that I've mentioned here, the spirit of grace and the spirit of supplication. The grace that we need from God, the grace of God, is not just favor or unmerited favor. The grace of God is power. The grace of God is power. It is a spiritual dynamic that is given to us. The grace of God provides for us dynamic strength and power that we do not have in and of ourselves. And so we are given this spirit of grace, the spirit of grace. Titus 2 and 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You see, where there's true grace that's being declared and preached and taught, where you see true grace being manifested, and you'll see people having the power of God in their life, the ability to say no to sin, the ability to resist sin. The grace of God gives to us the ability to be an overcomer over the things that are of this world. That seems to be a real serious problem today, that people come to church, they pray a little bit, but then they go back out into sin. They have no power at all to avoid sin or to turn away from sin. It is this wonderful outpouring of the Spirit that provides for us the spirit of grace, whereby we have the strength to resist sin, to turn from sin, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live a sober and a righteous, godly life in this present age. The grace of God provides for us the ability to live a life of purity and holiness in this present age. It's a part of this outpouring for these last days, the spirit of grace and the spirit of supplication. The word there, the Hebrew word for supplication, is a word that signifies an olive branch wrapped with wool. And it was used whenever someone was in a battle and they would come up out of the trenches with this olive branch and this wool wrapped around it, and they would wave it as a sign of surrender. That's literally what the word there, the Hebrew word, means, a spirit of supplication. What does it mean? What's the spiritual message that's here in this spirit of supplication? It just means surrender. It just means I give up. It just means I belong to you now. I surrender to you. The spirit of supplication is a cry that comes out of our heart that says, Lord, it's not my life, it's not what I want to do, but Lord, I surrender completely to you for your will, for your purpose, for whatever that you want to do with my life. Amen. Amen. There's no living for God in these last days and living to yourself and what you want to do and still hanging on to the things of this world, saying, I love God and I'm serving God, but there's no evidence of that in your life because you've never really surrendered to God. You've never really surrendered to Him. But this wonderful outpouring of the Spirit, this wonderful gift of grace and supplication, gives to us the power to turn from sin and the power to yield ourselves completely and to belong to the Lord. Amen. So this last day outpouring is a focus on the harvest of souls. It provides a spirit of grace and supplication to turn to the Lord and to surrender completely unto Him and whatever His purpose is for your life and for my life. From the text in the book of James, we're reminded again and again to be patient. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. How long do we be patient? Until He comes. Until He comes. We just stay in there. We remain steady and committed until He comes. There's no quitting time. There's no giving up time. There's no time to surrender in the kingdom of God and the work of the Lord. The harvest is out there. It's ready to be harvested. And that has to be the focus of our life. And we have to put our trust in Him. These are the last days just before the coming of the Lord. And what is going to be parallel with these last days just before His coming? The early and the latter rain. This latter rain of the Spirit of God that he wants to pour out upon his people so that we can see the harvest. The last harvest of souls just before Jesus splits the skies and comes to take his church to be with him. Amen. The Lord is coming soon. But at this last day, let's not be complacent. Let's not just have the attitude, well, we're just going to have to do our best and just hold on until Jesus comes. That's not at all what the call of God is for the church. The call of God is for us to be filled with the Spirit, and that the reign of the Spirit of God upon our lives is causing us to be a part of this last day harvest. And the Lord is bringing them into the kingdom in these last days. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Be patient. Therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman, the farmer, the gardener, he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. He's ready. He's anxious to see that it come. And with long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye patient and steadfast. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is nigh. Just be steady. Just be faithful. Remain true to the Lord, because these are the last days just before his coming. And coupled with that, paralleled with that, will be a harvest. A harvest of souls. Do you believe that? I just read it to you from God's word. It's not my opinion. It's what the Bible says, that God wants to do and will do, bringing them in to the kingdom of God. Amen. So our responsibility is great. It's great. They're going to come in and be saved, and they will so because there's a rain of the Spirit of God. I just pray that everybody that walks into this building, every time they come in, they just sense something's going on here. I feel something from heaven in this place, in this room. The Spirit of God is resting upon this place, and they can sense that, and they can feel the presence of the Lord, and the rain of the Spirit of God is touching their heart and preparing them and bringing them to that place that they will receive the Lord, and they'll be a part of this last day harvest of souls. Amen. I just want to encourage you all, bring somebody with you next Sunday to church. Would you do that? Would you purpose in your heart to talk to someone, witness to some? Hopefully you already have been. Bring someone to the house of the Lord with you next week, and to be used of the Lord to influence some to be in God's house this next weekend. And we're going to trust God to touch hearts, to bring some into the kingdom this month of November. Would you bow your heads with me now? Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the reign of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're so grateful, Lord, that you've called us and you've allowed us to be a part of what's going on in these last days just before you come back. Now, Lord, I pray for those that are in this service today that have strayed away from you. They're not serving you. And Lord, they desperately need, Lord, to turn back to you. I pray, Lord, that as the Holy Spirit begins to speak and to convict and to remind men and women of their need to be saved, oh God, oh Lord, just rain upon their hearts, upon their minds. Help them, Lord, Lord, to receive the truth and to put their faith and their trust in you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.